Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to the 7th episode of Absolutely Intercultural.
After the last show, several of you left comments on our blog, encouraging us to continue the conversation about culture as a software of the mind. Daniel wrote that he had not heard about that concept before, but thought it was very relevant for explaining some cultural phenomena. He explained that he, too, had observed the cultural update of leaving his old currency behind and adopting the euro. You may remember that we discussed that in the last show.
We'll continue our discussion about that in a minute, but let's first take a look at another comment on our blog. Steve Evans revealed the secret why we received almost 30 comments on our first show about the Spanish tapas culture. This is what Steve wrote.
This is to let you know about a little project we undertook in Madrid as a result of this podcast. My students were among the first to post after your first program from León about tapas and siestas. They were pleased to hear their comments read out on the second show and were inspired to produce some video podcasts about life in Spain of their own as a result.
Wow, Steve, thank you very much for your comment and your engagement with your class. We are absolutely thrilled that our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural, motivated your students to do their own podcast. If they want to, they can also send us audio files to be included in our show, Absolutely Intercultural, as, of course, all you listeners can send us bits and pieces to be included in the show. By the way, the German Chancellor Angela Merkel has started a weekly video podcast. Well, here we cannot be sure whether this one too was inspired by ours, but we like to think so. It's called Die Kanzlerin Direkt, or The Chancellor Direct. And the podcast will feature her thoughts on mostly political topics, although the first show was addressed to the World Soccer Tournament that opened on the 9th of June in Germany. Could she have stolen our idea for the show today? Well, we'll never know. In any case, the idea is to be true to the original democratic principle and make information available to everyone so that they can form their own opinions. Well, that's very close to what we are doing. So we don't say that she's another one who was inspired, but who knows?
Hey, and if you'd like to share a story or your opinion with us, please go to our blog on www.absolutely-intercultural.com, where you will find all the information you need to get in touch with us. Right after we go to our column Absolutely Theoretical again, we have three more interesting things prepared for you.
John Brody from Scotland will tell us about a trip to Belarus where he went as a member of the Tartan Army, which is another name for the travelling supporters who follow the Scottish football team to its away games. He's come to Germany for the Football World Cup 2006, and since Scotland isn't playing in the tournament, he and his friends are supporting Togo. Well, that's an obvious alternative, isn't it? Right after that, we have a report of an eyewitness of the soccer match Sweden versus Trinidad and Tobago. Marie is from Sweden and she came to Germany to visit friends and to watch the match. And we'll also hear how Germany has prepared for the millions of fans from all over the world to make them feel welcome and literally understood.
But let us now go to our column Absolutely Theoretical again, where Fernando, Laurent and I continue our discussion about integrating updates into our daily lives.
Okay, now, can you think of any other updates, like in America, for example, in the USA? I'm sure that 9/11 was one of these big updates where suddenly everybody is changed and the whole thinking has changed completely. I even have the impression that this is like before Christ and after Christ or something. No, seriously, that people say say things, even if it has nothing to do with that fact, somehow their counting of time falls into these two categories, whether it was before or after.
Yeah, because I think that's because that's been such a huge event that affected the whole world, that everybody has this date in mind, and that they compare Yeah. The time before and after.
And I remember seeing a brochure a couple of months ago in the States that says make your company very safe and have a backup plan, an emergency plan against terrorism, floods.
Yes.
And so people are considering that very seriously. And I don't think 10 years ago anybody considered having an emergency plan in case of a bombing in a company
to
save the data.
It would have looked like a printing mistake somehow. If you had seen that as an advertisement, I think you would have thought there was something wrong. Oh, by the way, I remember one thing that my wife told me about recently. She works in a place where people register for courses. Mm-hmm. And you know that in Germany, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago or something, we had a new law for homosexual marriages. Mm-hmm. And so she was talking to somebody over the counter, and he said that he wanted to bring another person. And in the end, it turned out it was his husband. And my wife said that, of course, she's a very open person, and she had known about it and everything, and yet somehow in her brain there was this little computer crash going on, because it was the first time that a male person was saying to her, I have to speak to my husband about it.
Right.
And it almost sounded like a grammatical mistake.
In fact, I have heard something similar in the small town where my girlfriend lives. She's American and she comes from Wisconsin. And there is a person who has decided to change sex. But he is married. So now he's going to become a woman, but he's going to be married to a woman who accepts who accepts that situation, which has been a great update for the minds of the people in that small town.
Great update. That's a good good cue. Do you think, I mean, sometimes when I get an update on my computer, I'm not even sure whether I want it. So I look at it afterwards. I know exactly. It's going to take me 3 weeks until I can do the things which I was perfectly able to do before I got the update. So sometimes I ask myself, why shouldn't I stay like my father? He's still using Windows, I think, 98 or something. Mm-hmm. And he's perfectly happy with that because he doesn't use all these new features. And I sometimes ask myself, do I really use the new features?
Aren't we forced somehow to get the update sometimes?
I think sometimes we are. I think especially with new laws, for example, or new rules, when suddenly something's changing that went very well before the change, and now afterwards you ask yourself, why on earth has that changed? Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we are forced to accept updates.
Mm. Well, because they're decided politically most of the time.
Right.
And sometimes I find that that we do it because of social pressure. Because everybody is getting the update, so, hey, I'm not going to be the guy not getting the update. I want the update as well.
So your neighbors have got double glazing, and so you want double glazing as well to have a luxurious life.
That's right.
Or like the lady said in the interview, the lady from Iceland, about the hot water bottles in the north of England, mm-hmm. for example, where in Iceland they all have this cultural update, technical update, whatever, that everybody has central heating. But these are all updates where life really becomes easier afterwards. I wonder, do we sometimes have to go back afterwards?
I think sometimes we should.
We
don't. I think probably most of the time we just go ahead and we think that any change is a change for good. Uh-huh. And we go into a better situation, but we don't realize that sometimes we should have stuck to the...
All right. You've lived in Germany for quite some time now, for 6 months or 8 months?
Ten
months, okay. Now, would you say that Germany is what you sometimes call an early adopter of these new things, or would you say that Spain is more...
Okay, that's a very interesting idea, because I think Germany has a perfect combination of from the past and the future. In Spain, we were in the past for a very long time, and now we are catching up, and we are going faster than anybody else, and getting all the updates as soon as possible, because we want to be... I mean, we see, for example, Germany as the most modern country in Europe, and sometimes we get updates before Germany, but because we try to be so trendy that we go super fast for them.
All right. Okay. This is something I've noticed in Ireland a lot, actually, that I found that up until 15 years ago, They were sort of behind Germany in many respects, legislation, but also the products you could find on the shelves and everything. And suddenly there has been this boom, and they've overtaken us on the left and on the right, and they look a lot more modern than we do in Germany.
Well, for example, about homosexual marriages or smoking. I mean, now we have forbidden smoking as much as we can, and probably we will go beyond just to ban smokers out of any public place or any place with children or something like that.
Yeah,
and here
right.
in Germany, we are still developing that, right?
Yeah. Well, that was interesting in Ireland because they implemented the non-smoking policy in pubs, I think 2 years ago or 1.5 years ago, maybe. And that has completely changed the whole town of Dublin, for example, because you find people sitting outside in the middle of the winter with these little heating systems. But this is only because they've changed the law. It's an update, but you can actually see it in the streets.
The streets actually became much more livelier because in front of the pubs, there's a crowd standing around smoking.
Yeah, right. Yes.
And actually, all the chatting up is going on outside. So even people who are not smoking are standing outside because cool people, the smokers, are standing outside.
It's still
a bit like that. I noticed that when I was in Ireland a few months ago. And it's funny to watch. Because in Germany it's still allowed to smoke inside of pubs, but I think that's going to change, and I'm looking forward to see how that will change the German pub culture, if it's going to be similar like that.
Yes, whether the chatting up is going on outside as well. Okay, I'm afraid we need to come to an end soon. There is more potential in this topic, I'm sure. So maybe we follow it up next time with another aspect of culture as the software of the mind. Thank you very much for being in the studio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's exactly what we're going to do in the next shows. So if you're interested in this topic, make sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes or a podcatcher of your choice. You can find all the information about how to subscribe on our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. Of course, we would also like you to make comments on the blogs, so leave something so that we have an idea what we should be talking about.
Der rechte Läufer der Ungarn am Ball. Er hat den Ball verloren diesmal gegen Schäfer. Schäfer nach innen geflankt. Kopfball abgewehrt aus dem Hintergrund. Müsste Rahn schießen. Rahn schießt! Tor! 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 Tor!
Now, we couldn't help noticing that there's something going on in Germany. Right now, the FIFA World Cup 2006. So the rest of this show is devoted to the game of all games, to football or soccer. For our column, Absolutely Personal, Anne from Denmark has interviewed John Brody from Scotland about a trip to Belarus he made last year. So let's listen in.
What is this with the Tartan Army? What do you look like?
It's basically the word or the term for the travelling support that follows Scotland to its away games, the games out with the UK. And it's a name that seems to have stuck, the Tartan Army. A very friendly army, I may add. There's no malice there whatsoever. And I think the Tartan Army are hopefully notorious for being friendly and having a good time. And it's very big. Scotland has a large travelling support, which is even more amazing considering the team isn't very good. But we probably take 4,000 or 5,000 fans to every away game. For instance, I was in Belarus in Minsk last June. It's almost a year ago now. And everybody that goes wears the kilt. You have to. You don't get into the Tartan Army unless you wear the kilt, Anne.
So you're easily recognisable then?
Yeah, because you'll get people wearing the kilt, and generally it's the big boots that go with it, the kind of Desi boots that go with it, a kind of light brown shade, with the long socks, and with various head attire, which can be anything from a Glengarry, which is a kind of little hat, or to people wearing hats with big feathers coming out of them. Very Scottish, of course, very traditional.
So tell us a little bit more about this Belarus escapade, because it wasn't run-of-the-mill visit, was it?
And we had a little bit of a problem when we booked in because I think we can only say that in Belarus, customer service and customer satisfaction doesn't exist. They really don't care because everyone has a job and they can't do any better, they can't do any worse, so they just kind of are very dismissive, to say the least, when you book in. We booked three rooms, they only gave us two. And when I queried this, I said, you know, that's not right. We've paid for three. And the woman behind the desk, a very stern lady behind the desk, said, you're getting two. To which I agreed, because as it is a one-party communist state, we didn't want to get thrown out. So we towed the party line. We said, that's fine. And we got to the room, laughably the room, when the phone went and a woman called and said, you're in your apartment. I said, no, I'm in my room. I just thought she was getting the English wrong. And then she said, you're in your apartment. I said, no, I'm in my room. And she said, for the third time, you're in your apartment. I said, look, do you want me to come down? We can discuss this. Because I thought, this is great. They're going to sort out the room. But, in fact, the woman said, you're in your apartment, $20. And, of course, only then did I realize I was being propositioned. I threw the phone down. And then when I relayed this to my friend, who I now had to share the room with, because, of course, we had two rooms, not three, he was not at all happy. He took a bit of a strop and a bit of a huff and said, $20, could you not knock it down to 10? At which point, I threw him out of the room. So it was an eventful start to the holiday. And at this particular point, I just wanted to go home because I felt very uncomfortable. And bearing in mind, the hotel bore something into the, I don't know if you've ever seen Psycho, the film, but that was what this hotel was like. Half the lights didn't work. The door was very dodgy. On each floor, there was a woman standing, watching everything.
And what about the football?
Oh, we're lost. No, I'm kidding.
No, well, I hope you have a great time in Germany. And I hope that Togo storm through to the final.
I'm certainly hoping so. I think we'll be the only Togo supporters in kilts. I certainly hope so. Because we are taking the kilts over and, you know, we're going to try and get in with the Togo support. I imagine they won't have a huge away support, you know, numbering more tens than hundreds. So if we do get in with them, then I think we'll be quite noticeable in that we'll be very pale, living in Scotland, and we'll be wearing kilts. So,
well, I'll watch out for you. I'll watch out for you.
I'd appreciate that, Anne. And I will take my banner saying "Hello, Anne" in Denmark, if you like.
Well, thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
That must be a fantastic sight to see a huge crowd of pale and kilt-wearing people in the fan corner of the Togolese team. I'll be definitely watching out for this. And now we have another football fan for you. Marie Nilsson from Sweden tells us about her impressions from the ongoing World Cup here in Germany.
Have you already seen a match?
Yes, we were yesterday at a game in Dortmund. Sweden has played against Trinidad and Tobago.
All right. Tell us a little about the experience in the stadium.
In the stadium, it was great. Even though Sweden played 0-0, it was really great. There was a lot of Swedish fans cheering and hoping for the team to win, and it was really a great experience. The atmosphere was crazy.
Did you see many fans from different countries, or were most people Swedish and German?
I would say most people were Swedish in Dortmund on this day. There was a lot of yellow t-shirts, but we also saw some from Trinidad and Tobago and some other countries, but they were mostly Swedish people.
Right.
Or Swedish fans.
Okay, was the behavior any different for the people from Tobago and the people from Sweden?
Well, actually, I found it quite funny because there were Swedish people, or I don't know, they had Swedish t-shirts and a flag from Trinidad and Tobago. That was sort of a friendly atmosphere in the city this day. I found that very interesting to see.
Okay, so these were probably people who were undecided, or maybe Germans who just didn't want to take one of those sides.
Yeah, maybe. But I found it, I mean, I saw Swedish people with a flag on their cheek from Trinidad, and I just found the atmosphere was wonderful, I must say. All of the Swedish fans took a walk. There was 2.5 kilometers almost to the stadium.
All right.
And there was a long, long, long train of people going there, and everybody was cheering and singing, and I was really, really happy.
Wonderful. Of course, the weather helped as well a little.
Yeah.
Now, how did the Swedish media report about this event before it happened?
There has been a lot reported in the media. They are even broadcasting the trainings from the team here in Germany. And a lot of news shows, they are talking about championships and how we are going to handle it, and a lot of it around it.
Did they talk about any negative aspects? Because in the German press we got a lot of worries before the whole thing started.
I never really experienced negative things as such. Maybe, okay, worries about how the teams were going to play or something like that, but nothing else, really.
Okay, thank you, Marie, for talking to us, and enjoy the football in Germany.
Thank you, I will.
For the last part of the show, which we might call Absolutely Prepared, Laurent has interviewed Dr. Beate Blügel, who works for the Deutsche Volkshochschulverband and who has organized the welcoming of millions of fans from all over the world in German train stations. Although she's not exactly a football fan herself.
I'm afraid so.
And yet I know that your institution is very much involved in the preparation. Maybe you could go back in time a little bit and tell us how your institution got involved.
Well, first of all, I think I may have to explain what a Volkshochschule is. It's a communal center of adult education, and in Germany every town has to have one, which is quite nice. Volkshochschulen actually offer everything from, I don't know, painting classes to languages to computer, and people take evening classes there, and it's something that you can take during the day, and whenever you feel lonely, you'll always find people there interested in getting to know something new, which is quite nice. So, as I say, every town should have one, and there's 987 of them in Germany. And because Germany is a federal state, there are umbrella organizations for each country, i.e. each Bundesland, as we say in German. And there is a huge umbrella organization for all of Germany, and that's where I work. Promoting the languages, which of course is directly linked to football, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. Well, let's say that about 18 months ago people knew that the World Cup was going to be in Germany this year, and everybody was preparing for it, and the main thing was the motto of the World Cup that actually gave us our idea. The motto is "Time to make friends" in English. And we thought, well, if you want to make friends, you know, friends from all over the world are going to come to Germany. So we would like to make them feel at home here, and we would like to welcome them. And what else can you do but learn their language or speak to them in their language? So we thought this was an ideal opportunity to promote language learning and language teaching in Germany and in the adult education
center. How have adult education centers been involved in the preparation of the World Cup?
Well, we've launched a campaign which is called Sprachenweltmeister in German, which literally translated means Language World Champions, because that's what we think we are. And it's got three aspects to it. One aspect is that in preparation of the World Championship, we've actually trained and qualified people who are in the tourism industry, bus drivers, taxi drivers, tourist guides, whoever is involved, maybe even the volunteers in some of the towns. The second aspect is that we've got a cooperation with Deutsche Bahn, the German railway, and they've realized that they are not such experts in languages, so they have actually asked us to give them two people in every language that is not English or German and that is being played. So if, I don't know, Sweden play an Arabic country, then there will be two people speaking Arabic and two people speaking Swedish.
In the train station?
In the railway station, right. When people on the trains arrive. And the third aspect is that we've got a little booklet, which we call the Fußballfibel, which will actually give you about 30 different expressions on football, expressions that you're going to need in the stadium when you want to talk about football, in all the German plus 15 languages that are being spoken by the different teams.
You mentioned the volunteers. What did you do for them in particular?
Well, they got language classes, basically in English, but of course we know that there are training camps around, so some of the teams that are going to play have actually come 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago and have been training. For instance, the Japanese team are in Bonn and the Brazilian team are in Leverkusen, so they're all around Cologne in the Rhine area, which seems to be very popular.
Can I ask you, what do you think would be the biggest success from your point of view? Would it be that Germany turns out to be the champion?
I am not at all interested in football, so that's not what I'm interested in. So what I would like to see would be a happy festival of people all over Germany, lots of different nations being happy together and watching good football and having a peaceful event, rather than what sometimes football has actually come to bring up.
Okay, thank you very much for being here with us today.
Thank you.
Now that is something I think we all are looking forward to. Well, that's it for today. Thank you very much again for listening to our show and for giving us feedback on our blog or via email. Please go to www.absolutely-intercultural.com where you can participate in several ongoing discussions. And please also put your pin on our Flapper map. The map already looks amazing with almost 60 pins on it, but the world is big enough for all of you, so please go to our blog and put yourself on the map. The next show will be coming to you from Denmark on the 30th of June, so please
stay tuned!
Aus! 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 Das Spiel ist aus!